You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
It's great to see everybody. Everybody's excited for tomorrow. I have my daughter and son-in-law and two beautiful grandchildren from Japan. Unfortunately, my other daughter works ER, and she's working ER tomorrow. So, and today. So I hope she has a silent night. This little joke there, a little peace on earth maybe, not so many broken bones. Hey, we're going to finish the love series where you do something a little different that we do. We've been doing this series for like 12 or 13 weeks. I think we started on October 13th. And if you haven't been around or missed a week, you can go on our website and check out our podcast. You're going to really love catching up on this series about love. And then Sunday the 29th, which is this Sunday coming up, we're only going to have one service at 9 a.m., a time to share what God has done in your life, maybe through this message series, what you're looking forward to in 2020. It'd be a real family-style service. There's one service at 9 o'clock. I know a lot of people are getting away for the holiday. So we've been reading 1 Corinthians 13. If you'll join me, we won't stand today. We'll just read it here. Ready? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And as we said, if you can get this right, if you can get love right, then a lot of things will fall into place, pretty much everything. In fact, Jesus said, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, everything that God commanded will be caught up, will be fulfilled in that. And so that's our prayer. So what we did last Sunday is I made some love proclamation declarations that are maybe you can memorize, maybe you'll know. We said love is patient, or I will actively pursue you with a timeless love. Love is kind. I will remove the obstacles to your success. You know, that's what kindness is seeing somebody has obstacles and removing it so they can do well in life. Love doesn't envy, or you're more than enough for me. I don't need anything else. You're sufficient. Love isn't boastful or proud. I promise to humbly seek forgiveness. Love doesn't dishonor. I will celebrate who you are, not who you are not. And love isn't selfish. I love you wholeheartedly, regardless. Regardless of what? Regardless of anything. I just love you. Love isn't easily angered. I will submit myself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I choose to erase all your mistakes. And love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices when the truth wins out. And I will cheer loudly when truth wins. I love to snorkel. I've done it a lot of different places. I've done it off the coast of California, of course. I've done it on a cruise. We were in Cabo San Lucas, and I went snorkeling there. I was snorkeling, I'm swimming around, and all of a sudden I saw this beautiful phenomenon. I know there's like sparkly little white things in the water. I'm looking down like, wow, that looks amazing. And then I realized that they were jellyfish. Just like, I don't know what they call it. I don't know. It's just a lot of them. Anybody know the name for that? No. See, you don't either. So there's a lot of them coming up, and I'm like swimming out there as fast as I can. I've snorkeled in Australia. And then I'm going to say I snorkeled because I had a mask and they put me in a suit that, you know, wetsuit. So I looked like a seal. In South Africa, I went cage shark diving with the great whites. And so I'm going to count that as snorkeling. I mean, I don't know whoever thought of that. When I was thinking about this, like whoever sat down and goes, I have a great idea. Let's dress up people to look like seals. Stick them in a cage, and then have sharks come after them, right? And what they do is they take and put you in this cave, and they shut the door at the top of it, and they sort of sink you down, and they take a fish head, and they just throw it out with a line over the top of the cage, and they just sort of lure in a great white right towards your cage, and then they pull it. And so the shark is supposed to come and see the cage and then veer. Ours got a little close and came, and actually the tail hit the cage. I don't know what I was doing, but it was fun, and I tell the story, and I'm alive. So there you go. But every time I come back from a snorkeling adventure, I'll have a friend of mine say, who has scuba dived, but you have no idea what scuba diving's like. I mean, I can't even explain it to you. If you like snorkeling, you got to scuba dive. So I've scuba dived in, I've snorkeled in Hawaii before, and we were there for, I think, our 30th anniversary. Something was going on a couple years back. And my daughter Sarah's with me, and I said, what do you want to do? Let's do something together. And we found this place that let you go scuba diving without having to go through the certification. And I guess you're allowed to go down 30, 40 feet, something like that. So we went out. And I got all this stuff on, and we went down, and it blew my mind. I felt like I was on a different planet. And two things happened. I got excited, so I started breathing more. And then I realized at one moment, if something happens down here with all this weight, I'm not getting back to the top. So between the two of those, I started breathing heavy, and all of a sudden, the instructor would come by and check the levels of your tank. And my tank got too low, and he said, back up to the top. So I'm up at the top, but I'm all by myself. Not trying to figure out, why does everybody keep scuba diving and I'm up here? And finally he comes up and I said, what gives with that? He goes, well, you're bigger, so you breathe the oxygen probably faster than anybody else. You take in more. So I had to take you up at a certain level. I said, all right. So we get a second tank. So in the second tank, I was so amazed by this. I literally went down, took a breath, and held it as long as I could because I didn't want to miss anything before I let it out again. So I could stay with everybody else. It was unbelievable. And even though I felt that way, I mean, I was telling my daughter, I was like, we were literally walking on the floor of the ocean. Which she said to me, well, Dad, technically, as soon as you step in the water, you're literally walking on the floor of the ocean. To which I said, respect your elders. And I realized this, that my experience is preschool. It's kindergarten scuba diving compared to the best in the world. And so parents of mine go, you don't even understand. You should go do it for real. And yet, even though their masters are out there, and even the best person who knows how to explore the ocean, only 20% of our ocean is explored. 80% of it is unmapped, unexplained, and unexplored. So even the best hasn't seen what's out there. And there are some that are even afraid and said, I won't even go into the ocean. I'll never go scuba diving. I'll never go snorkeling. I don't even like to swim in my swimming pool. And perhaps as a child, your parents never taught you how to swim. Perhaps you saw a documentary about accidents and failures in the ocean. Or maybe you watched too much of Shark Week. So you're like, I'm never getting near water ever again. Maybe you had an accident. Maybe you almost drowned. Maybe you were body surfing in the ocean and you just got tumbled over and over and you weren't sure you were going to make it up. And this is what I know. When it comes to love, it's the same way. It can be the same. There's a fatherless generation who have never truly felt love. You've seen how love had failed maybe so many people. Parents that have left or marriages that have crashed or friendships that have dissolved. Religion may have hurt you. So when the Bible says love never fails, in your mind or in your heart, you replied, well, it failed me. There's a song, a famous song, you know, Hallelujah, that's been covered by so many people. It's a beautiful song, but it's really a dark song about love. The last lyrics say Samson being deceived. It was about Samson being deceived by Delilah, King David sinning with Bathsheba. And the last verse says, well, maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot before somebody suit somebody who outdrew you. So Christmas time we sing about God's love and His joy and His peace. But when it comes to love and God's love, perhaps you've never even been snorkeling. I was in premarital counseling once with a young man who was marrying a young lady who was of faith. And I asked him what he thought about Christ. He said, it's not that I'm against faith, I've just never heard anything about it. So I began to explain to him, like the Christmas story, how God sent His only Son come to earth to die for our sins and pay the price. And right there at that moment, we prayed and He cast Christ into His heart and He dove into the water. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you've been taught. Or maybe it hasn't been properly explained to you. Some people don't snorkel because there are dangerous things in the water. There are when it comes to love, you know, great white sharks. And when it comes to love, all you maybe hear is dun-dun, dun-dun. You're just waiting for the shark to attack. Whether it's the love of God or the love of a spouse or a friend, maybe you're afraid of what could happen. And you're right, bad things can happen in love. And you also know that true love requires some change, soul searching. And you're afraid it might reveal. So maybe you prefer splashing around where there's no danger. Some have tried snorkeling, and even some like me have dabbled in scuba diving. You tasted what it could be like, but I'm here to tell you right now that the kind of love that we're talking about is so powerful when it's really fulfilled. And that, like scuba diving, my friends, I can say to you, we don't even have scratching the surface of what God's perfect love is all about. In regards to love, I've been scuba diving for a while. I came to faith in Christ 42 years ago. When a man like me standing up here made an offer for somebody to receive Christ, I came down to an altar and I prayed. It changed my life forever. I felt God's unconditional love, the love of a father that I'd never felt before, come into my life, and it changed me. My wife and I were married 33 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. But I agree, I believe that like an ocean, I'm convinced that I've only explored maybe 20% of the depths of love. There's a scripture that sort of goes along with this. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. I'd like to read it to you. I'm going to start with verse 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He, Christ, may strengthen you with power from His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So I can try to explain to you all about God's love, but you'll never really understand it until you experience it. And that's why the scripture says here that it's a love that surpasses knowledge. And what's interesting about this passage, it was not written to people who did not know about God's love. He said they were rooted and they were established. They knew about God's love, but he said, even though you know, you don't even have the understanding. So he's saying, I'm praying that you would grasp it. And it's an interesting word, grasp. Grasp in the original language literally means to seize it and to hold it firmly tight. So Paul says this, all of you who know about God's love, my prayer is this, that you'll be able to seize and to hold it tightly, the depth and the height and the width and the length of the love of God. Have you ever had an experience that you tried to explain to somebody, but it just didn't measure up? You're like, I have to tell you about what happened to me. And you're telling about it, and you can see that they understand, but they don't get it. And like, it was way more amazing than what you're thinking. My wife and I like to go look at fall leaves. So we've done that several places. This year we're in Payson at the right time, and there's some brilliant yellows along the East Verde River, if you've been up there. We've seen the aspens in Colorado. I took her to the Ozark Mountains, where I spent some of my time as a young man, and we saw the hardwoods there. And then 2018, we went to New England. We saw the sugar maples, brilliant reds. And you take these pictures, and you come back to show people the pictures. But the pictures, they don't even come close to capturing the vivid colors. And you're like, this is cool, but it was really amazing. And he's saying, that's the way it is about God's love. I can tell you about it, but until you experience it, you won't really know what it's like. I have a spiritual father and mother in Cape Town, South Africa, Floyd and Sally McClung. We were ministering there once, and Floyd told me, he says, you have to go up to the wine country above Cape Town. And he said this, he goes, it's like the Swiss Alps meets Napa Valley. And I'm like, I've been to the Swiss Alps, and I've been to Napa Valley. I don't think so. No way. We went up there, it was. And even more spectacular. It's stunning. I can tell you about it, but I'd rather you experience it. Paul says God loves that goes way beyond knowledge. He says, my prayer that you, being rooted and established in love, may be able to understand how wide, long, high, and deep. In other words, you've only experienced 20%. I'm asking God to give you more. Chris Valentin of Bethel Church wrote this, the love of Jesus is multidimensional. It has breadth, it has length, it has height, and it has depth. It's an extension of an all-encompassing ocean of adoration. It surrounds you with compassion. The words will be on the screen, but I want to read you from his book. The love of Jesus has width. It covers you in dark seasons and protects you through the night. It greets you in the morning and smiles on you through the day. It is captured at dusk and expressed at dawn. It is the hope to the discouraged and peace to the lost. The love of Christ has length. It goes the distance. You can't fall so far, it can't catch you. Run so fast, it can't get you. Or hide so well, it can't find you. His love is better than your worst day, stronger than your most defiant will, and more forgiving than your cruelest sin. When you give up, love goes on. When you fall down, it picks you up. Love is courage to the fearful, hope to the helpless, strength to the weary, and wealth to the impoverished. Love of Christ has height. It exceeds all your expectations. If you ask for it, love has more. If you thought it, love takes it higher. If you dream big, love dreams bigger. If you aim high, love aims higher. You dream of a family, love dreams of a legacy. You ask for a job, God gives you a destiny. You hope for peace, love finds you a ministry. And the love of Christ has depths. It is intensely complex and profoundly able to penetrate your soul. Love is the poetry that awakes the mind to color so vivid and the beauty divine. Like an ocean so deep or a universe so vast, it beckons to be discovered and longs to be grasped. Mysteries and wonders unfold at your feet as you walk with His love, your fear, He defeats. Deeper and deeper you tumble into God, enriched by His goodness and changed by His love. The depth of His mystery is hard to explain, for the ocean that's around you is in you just the same. And you see, love never fails. It's dualistic in one concept because in order to really experience the depths of love, you got to be willing to take a risk. And love that deep can also hurt deeply as well. And I know people who come to me and said, you know, I've seen love fail, but I can tell you time and time again, no matter what case you bring to me or what that's brought to me, most of the time I can say this, you didn't really experience love. Not this kind of love. Not the God, agape, unconditional 1 Corinthians love. In order to experience that, you need to find it in God first. Until you can experience there, you're going to have a hard time experiencing it anywhere else. And so on that Christmas Eve years ago, just before the day that we celebrate, there was many glad tidings around. And Jesus came to this earth. He was born on Christmas Day that we celebrate, so that you may not know about God, may not know about His love, so that you could experience His love in a personal way. And by that, He bridged the gap so that we might have a relationship with God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me today, and I'm going to invite you into that conversation and invite you into that relationship. And if you've never made a decision to take the step of following after Christ, I'm going to invite you, as we pray, just to say yes in your heart. Father, thank you for love, for the gift of love that you gave us when you gave your only begotten Son to come to this earth, to die for our sins, and to forgive us. Tonight we say yes to that. We receive your love. We want to experience it, not just to know it, we want to experience it. So please open up our hearts and our minds tonight and tomorrow that in all that we may see your love, your hand, your grace, your strength, and know that all this is from you because you are the God who defined love so well. We receive your love and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.